Our gracious Father, we thank you for this wonderful day you have given unto us. We are grateful to you for your love and mercy, and Lord, your favor, Lord, in the week that ended yesterday. Thank you, dear Father, for bringing us to your house this morning. We thank you for the blessings we have received already in the Sunday school. Lord, we ask that your spirit will water those things in our heart. Lord, as you prepare us for your coming. Thank you for the worship service. Thank you for special numbers. We thank you, O God, for everyone that you have used this morning to be a blessing to your people. We ask you to bless and replenish each one, the sound leader, users of instruments, the officers, those who sound special, the teachers of the Sunday school, the superintendents. Lord, the children who have been calling upon you today, that you will bless our gathering. You bless everyone. Leave ourselves in your hands as you further commend the rest of the service in your hand. We pray you be with us and bless every aspect of the evening service. We remember those who are traveling this morning for journey messages. May you bring them down safely. Amen. Wherever any of your children are on the road, we pray that you watch over them there for them. Thank you, Eternal Father. Lord, as we trust your presence to be with us here, we also pray for other guardians of your children in other places, both in this country and other nations of the world. We ask that your grace and your mercy will be with them. Thank you, Eternal Father. Jesus, most wonderful name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Lord bless you. You can please be seated. Let's sing this morning. Before we proceed, 647, Precious Lord, take my hand.
Precious love, leave the ground with my love.
shall rise up on our feet. We turn to St. John chapter 6. St. John chapter 6, we read from verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth; the flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. You can please be seated. I forgot to physically congratulate the family of Brother Bart Ogu. They had another grandchild, baby born, through Sister Precious and the Brother Dominion in Abuja. And Sister Bart is in Lagos to go to Abuja on Tuesday, because she's going by flight. They thought this week we get to close to the end before the child will come, but the child has come earlier. So let's bring prayers for the mother and the baby. We also have a brother in Kabusari there that the wife gave birth on Monday. We also put on the book. And we pray that the Lord will be with others and see them through. God bless you, Richard. We want to continue with this message that we started, I think it's two times already now. This will be number three, the third time, the three kinds of believers. And wherever we reach again, we stop. The thing with the sermon is that we all have it. We can listen to it on our tape from our handset. I still listen to it this morning. I listened to it about two times yesterday. And through the week, I've listened to it almost over and over and over and over. And we'll never be tired of listening to them. You can, I don't know, you can press that thing on your phone. Say play. No? You can press it and say play. Instead of everything WhatsApp for 3 hours in a day or 4 hours, making money for Airtel, for Glo, for MTN, contributing data for them. This one is without money, without price. Once you download it, every time you press, you don't pay nothing again. May the Lord be our help. But you know one thing, Satan will make sure you don't play. He will want to block you and make sure you don't play. And say, "Well, my handset is not good, this and that and the rest of it. There is no space inside my handset and the rest of it." You can buy an SD card and load it and put it inside it. Even non-Android set can even play it. When you put, load it and put it inside it. No, non-Android, you can play it. So there is no excuse at all. But may the Lord deliver us from every evil spirit. The three kinds of believers. The prophet said that we, our major focus is believer. Father Abraham said, my subject is the believers. But there are three kinds of them. The believers, then there is unbelievers, and then the make believers. And the believers, they are people that have been given unto Christ before the world began. They are the people that Christ came to die for. They are the people that, even those that died before the coming of Christ, before he was born physically on earth, that is God in flesh, by what they manifested in their own time, believing the person that Christ sent, if they have also been here when Christ was here, they will have believed Christ. They will have believed Christ. And that was why when Jesus died, within the days before his resurrection, he went to where Satan, to where the believers then were, paradise, and he broke the thing and brought out the saints, those who have believed the message of Noah, Abraham, Moses, and the rest of the prophets. He brought them out of that place. And after his ascension, they went with him. They went with him, and they are ever with him. They are seated under the throne at on the sixth dimension, where they are enjoying wonderful atmosphere that we can't even describe. The prophet went to that place and never wanted to come back. Said there is no language that you can ever use to describe it. And he talked of the other side also. He made reference to these two places at the end of this service when he was rounding up this message of the three kinds of believers. See, using that to warn people on what to do on this earth, where to go, where not to go. May we not end it in a bad place. Now, last week we spoke about Peter and Noah and Daniel. We stopped at Daniel, where the time reached. And we are going to also stop today when we get to where we could reach. And we are going to start from David, another character, another believer. And this David, the prophet called him a ruddy fellow. Somebody is ruddy, means somebody of a little stature. He's one of the people that the Bible, in fact, if there is somebody that his life was estranged completely in the scripture, David is one. He's rising up, he's falling, he's downcasting, he's uprising, everything, his worst life, his high life, everything was expressly spoken out. And David, though he's a king, but the prophet also referred to him as a prophet. David is a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. A man that God loved. When somebody is after God's own heart, it means that somebody that will do his will, or that does his will, that God is pleased with, that God is happy with, is a man David. This David, we didn't hear much about him when he was born by his father and his siblings until sometimes, because when the people of Israel demanded for a king. Even though David was the one that God had in mind, but the people asked for Saul. And God has promised that he will give you the desire of your heart, though it be against his will. So since they requested, even Samuel told them that, why are you asking for this? And of course, on the human side, we will say that the people have reasons, cogent reasons, acceptable reasons to be able to ask for a king. But on the other hand, they don't have, because they were not the one that even asked for a prophet before God gave them prophet. They were not the one that requested for Samuel before God gave them Samuel. But the time came that they told Samuel that you are getting old, and so your children are not like you. So they take bribe, they pervert judgment. And if you take bribe, you pervert judgment. That's what we have in the judiciary of our country. They are saying it, they will counter themselves, but everybody now know that it is the truth. Just pray, pray, Oloma Jarejo. Because when the Ejo come, the one that has the biggest money is the one that will win the case. Atebi Atare, Oloma Jarejo. Because when the thing get there, one time I was driving in Lagos. I think I was with some of our brethren from US. I think we are coming from the airport, and we are passing one of the something at Agege. That was traffic. I was still using my Bluebird, then the first car I bought. So somebody hit me from the back. So as no, in that place there is law. So they were saying, don't agree. I look and laugh. Don't agree here. If this man go and meet the police that is coming, once he touch his hand like this one and give him something, that is the case. The case is settled. By the time the man is going to look at the case, he said, wait, one, can you hear Kogan? People are blocking Kokwa. It's a minor thing. Are you not more than this one? I'm not. Don't wait. Just can you? And if you don't take that advice, in Batama, you can see your little man. I said, well, in this place, we don't claim right. You just go your way. So that's how we left. Did the thing later, when the time, whatever. So just pray that the Lord will forbid you run into any problem. So they say power judgment, and they take bribe. They are not like you. And because of that, we are also getting old. We are not that active. So very soon, you will not have anybody to whatever. If the people knew that it was not them that provided Samuel for themselves, that was God that provided Samuel, they would have waited. They would have prayed unto God that the situation that is coming, when Moses was to go, nobody told God. It was God that called Moses and said, go and lay hands on Joshua to be in your stead. You don't work for God. God work for himself. If you take the whatever up to the New Testament, Abraham said, when the people went to go and choose Matthias, he said he never did anything. He said that was the people's choice. God has his own choice. He said because they did not wait for God, that's why they chose Matthias. And the prophet said he never did anything. But just there, if you go ahead, may the Lord be our help. They requested. Samuel was so, he felt bad. Nevertheless, God told him, go and grant to them their desires. What they ask, give it to them. But just tell them the result of it, what they will reap from it. And he told them, the king you are asking for, this is what we do for you. This is what we do for you. This is what we do for you. When he narrated everything finished, he said, nevertheless, we want the king anyhow. And if you go back to Deuteronomy, Because God is infinite, He knows the end from the beginning. God had already told them that when you get to that land and you look at other nations and you say you want to be like them and you want to ask for a king, then this will be the qualification of the king that will reign over you. He first of all started from, he must be a citizen. He must not multiply horses for himself so that he doesn't lead the people back to Egypt. He must not enrich himself. He must write a copy of the book of this law and keep it and be reading it so that he will know how to carry his step. All those requirements and something was listed by God for them if they will ask for a king. But when they asked for king this time around, does Saul ever need anything? The few instructions he was giving, he could not keep. Is it the one that you're going to be listing a number of rules for him to follow? So, he gave them the king. When he gave them the king, within a short time, disobedient spirit entered inside. God said, go and deal with these people, Amalekites. Finish them completely. Don't spare nothing. They went and they spared. When Samuel came to ask questions, he pushed it to the people. He said, the people, they are the one that say this one, they want to use it to sacrifice to the Lord of God. Then who is the commander? If the commander gives you instruction, you know better than not to carry it out. And another time when it was to, they were to do sacrifice, and Samuel, for reasons best known to God, didn't come on time. And the people begin to press him. So, you are a king. The prophet have done this thing over and over in your presence. What is it to bless? Bless it in. Let us continue. Look now, the enemy is already close here. God doesn't work under pressure like that. He works with instructions. His instruction must be carried out. Not because of this. God mind his instructions. But they press. Look at, the enemy is already here. Look at, even some of the people are already getting tired and they are going this and that. Let's all look at the thing. Say, what is the blessing offering? God bless the thing. Like I was telling the pastor this morning of a brother I was discussing with. They are in a place. He left this church. And then he stayed at home. So I was telling him that, which church are you going? He said, it's at home. I said, for how long? He said, he's still taking his time. How long are you going to take your time? As you are taking your time, you are out of God's way. The prophet said, you should not stay at home. He said, at all costs, go to church. Where do you put that coat? You're already living inside disobedience. When he was going to tell me, he said, he's thinking of starting a church. Are you a minister? I said, no. How come? How are you going to float it? You think church is a business center? Even a minister cannot just decide, I want to start a church. There are so many things that go with it, otherwise that church will never prosper. The first instruction of Abraham says, if you want to start a church, he says, start with the word of God. You fail from that foundation, that church is not the church of God. It will never thrive. God will never identify himself with it. I have to see him in a few days and tell him more. The thing you are saying is no go area. No go area. But if you put your egg inside anyhow, whatever you see at the end, you manage it. Such a church, I can never be invited to you to come and preach. I will never go. It's not every church in this country I can go as I'm standing here. May the Lord be our help. You see, so Saul the person there, within a short time, he begin to, even when Samuel came and said that, what have you done? Why did you bless the offering? He said, the people, this and that, the enemy is already here. This is. Samuel said, you have done foolishly. You have done foolishly. When you act contrary to God's order, you have done foolishly. You have done foolishly. So what's it matters? Samuel wanted to go. He grabbed his garment. Okay, I'm alone. See, now your kingdom is stopped. He thought he wanted to persuade the prophet to be able to stay with him. But what's it, I'm alone. He didn't turn to prophecy. See, now your kingdom is stopped. Then God, after a short time, God told Samuel, why are you mourning for Saul? Say, I have gotten me a man after my own heart, that will do according to my will. And David was that man. And this David was not qualified for anything in the eyes of the people. So the day that, when God was to tell Samuel, God did not name David to him. He only told him that the family from where that person is coming is from the family of Jesse. So then even Samuel himself was afraid because Saul was still there. And he said, if I go, Saul will kill me. So say I'm going to come and do what? What am I going to tell Saul? He will kill me. That is one time that Samuel was afraid of Saul. So, then God told him that this is how you go about it. Just say you want to do business and then invite Jesse to come with his boys. Say one of it. The person I will name to you, another one. Unfortunately, Jesse didn't come with the very person for whom the garden was gathered. He himself, the mind that he has, are men of timber and caliber in height. So when he brought the boys from Eliab down, he left David in the bush to be taking care of animals. Because this kinship matter, David didn't know anything, but he's a small boy. He should stay. That's the eye of human being. So by the time they arrived, he lined the children up. The prophet said, the first one, if you look at him physically, the crown will fit his head. Need the activity that do it will not fit it. So then they start. Eliab come. As he was coming like this one with his handsomeness and height, God said, I refuse this one. The prophet said that even Samuel himself was discouraged. The thing weakened him. Because himself looking at the appearance, the thing was fine. He wanted to say, God saved the king almost. But God said, I refuse this one. Then he was weak. He said, you pass. Then he brings the second one. God said, I refuse this one. Then God told Samuel, God doesn't look as man look. You are looking at face, I'm looking at inside. Remember, we are talking about three kinds of believers. He doesn't show in the face. It's in the heart. So, I refuse this one. The third one, I refuse this one. The fourth one, I refuse this one. Did I make me say, is it not Jesse that God told me? You are breaking, you are breaking. Everybody on the list, I refuse. Maybe Samuel will almost say, this will be the first time that I didn't hear God correct. Then he asked Jesse, do you see have any other son that you didn't bring? He said, I have, but the one I have. If you are talking about, not the king you are talking about. These are king materials now. If it is king matter, these are materials. The one I have is a small boy.
He's not enlisted in the army. He doesn't go anywhere. He's there taking care of animals uselessly. But that's what he's doing inside the bush. But he said, boy, Abi, he said, we are not going to sit down until you bring him. Wherever, go look for him. He must be here. Because God told me, I should go to your family. You have to bring all the boys. Until you bring all the boys and God said that, that's when I will know that I have had God wrongly. Go and bring him. They have to run. I don't know whether with us or anything, they have to run. To go and because he said, nobody is sitting down until you bring that one. When David was coming, only God knows the way his heart shall be. Physically, he won't be an awesome man. He was just coming, crawl like that. A man that had been inside the bush. He was coming. When Samuel saw him afar off, God told him that that is the one. Samuel didn't stay where he was. He had to run to go and meet him on the way and pour the thing on his head. The other ones were coming to meet Samuel where he was. But when the real one come and God said, that's the one you are looking at. The one that the family didn't think is qualified. The one nobody thought to be qualified. He said, that is the person. Then he has to carry the honor for it and run and pour it on his head. Then the service was dismissed. The purpose of the gathering had been achieved. As at this time, Saul was still the king. But David was God's choice. A man after God's heart. Was David an angel? No. Even while he was on the throne, he has his falling and somersault. But one thing about David, he will never hide iniquity in his heart. Because he said, if I conceive iniquity in my heart, he said, the Lord will not hear me. He said, the Lord will not hear me. A man after God's own heart. From that time that the anointing oil was poured on him, the prophet said, God began to work upon him. From that time, this little anointing that was on Saul left him. As the Bible said that God's spirit departed from Saul. Is that the scripture? Not only departed, he said an evil spirit from the Lord came and entered into him and began to torment him. When they were looking for solutions, it was this same David. Because this is where the anointing was. That came and was playing. Even while he was playing, the anointing inside of Saul was looking at David as an enemy and wanted to kill him. That is how Satan is after God's own children. When he sees any vessel that is a vessel in the hand of God, it's in the church age book. Satan is always after them. Without anything, you have not done any evil. But the devil is just after anything godly. Evil is his own revival. Sorrow is his own revival. Crying is his own revival. The destruction, everything you can tell that is negative, is Satan's revival. He's never happy when the family of God is moving fine. It was God, because of predestination, that was saving David from escaping from the javelin of Saul. He started from one man to one man inside the house. He became a war of the whole nation. Until Saul had to gather a whole lot of bands because he was the king. David only had 600 to himself that followed him. And it was day and night pursuing and pursuing. Following after him here, following after him here, following after him here. But one thing about David is that being a man after God's own heart, he doesn't conceive evil. He doesn't plan evil. He is not after evil. Then God tried to see whether the thing inside of him was genuine or a makeup. God tried. He brought him to the camp where Saul was. Slept, snoring. Abner, the chief captain, slept, snoring. All the men of God, Tifa and Caliban, they all. Yoruba sọ pé oorun ló máa ń gba tọwọ́ ọmọdé. Na sleep we collect anything. If you let a child be struggling with something, you say bring this in. He say no, I no go give you. Let sleep come. He will surrender the thing. Where they were doing the Greek, Greek, all of them, weakness from the Almighty God, sleep from the Almighty God, they all slept. One of the men that followed David, he said, this is the end of this matter. Say, God has seen you, seen your honesty, your humility, everything, and has finally handed over your enemy to your hand. He said, you don't touch me, I will do the job. Just once, I just, and that's all. David said, no be so. He said, God forbid that I put my hands against God's anointed. This is Old Testament. Under the blood of animals, of bulls and goats. When the law of God itself permitted revenge. Written there clearly. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. You are permitted. It is regarded as righteousness. If somebody do you, you do him the same equivalent evil. There were laws in that place that were so terrible. If two men are fighting, and the wife of one wanted to side her husband, and in the name of siding her husband, he was touching the one that is the opponent of the husband. If she make mistake, go put her hand to touch where she is not supposed to touch. I won't talk much than that one. The Bible says you will cut her hand. Say your eyes should not pity. They should cut off that hand. She only touch you. They will cut off the hand because she has gone to touch what she ought not to touch. These are laws that God himself gave. With all those laws of revenge, David said, and this is a man that had given him restless nights for weeks, for months. He cannot sleep. In the afternoon, he's afraid. In the night, he will do night vigil because they don't know where the enemy is coming. It was a terrible time for never. With all this now, he saw the man not sleeping. And the bodyguard them say, oh yeah, this is the thing. This our sleeplessness will end here. Let's just once, that's all. Say, God forbid that I put my hands against God's anointed. It happened once, it happened twice. He only took an evidence to prove to them that he was there, that he was given the opportunity until when Saul himself, when he heard the voice of David, he said, David, is it David my son? This time now, not his son. Is it your son you are pursuing? Is it your son you want to destroy? We are talking of David. We are not really talking about Saul. It's only that the story is interwoven. But David is a believer. He's a believer. He acted like a believer. Under the blood of animals, of bulls and goats. When you are permitted to revenge, he chose not to revenge. He has no revelation that he cannot help God. And finally, when David became king, you know how his own son still rose up against him? Even when his own son rose up against him and they were to have battle together, what was warning Joab was that in all that you do, be careful of Absalom. He said, deal gently with Absalom for my sake. Whatever you cut here, be careful about Absalom. And this was the person that pursued him out of the throne. This was the person that wanted to kill him. Actually, Absalom was planning to kill him. That was his plan. Because he gathered the people, he asked for counsel. How do we undo this man? If not for Jehovah God, because of his plan for David, they would have caught him. the person that was the chief advisor, whose advice is like the advice of an angel. You know, when people will say, turn the counsel at the counsel of Ahithophel, you have to watch what you are saying. The counsel of Ahithophel directly is an angelic counsel. It was only one time that God turned into foolishness in answer to the prayer of David. So if you are just saying, turn his counsel, be careful. Which area of Ahithophel counsel are you talking about? Every time he gave an, he said it was a gift. It was a gift, and David knew that he was gifted, and he was with David as an advisor. And when he give advice, it's to the dogs. But this time around, when the table turned and he joined himself with the enemy of David, and God is with David, if you join yourself to be an enemy of an elect, you have chosen a wrong camp. Yes. And you are your way to destruction. He joined to the wrong camp. Make himself an enemy to God's anointed. Then David remembered, look at the people around him. He knew that Ahithophel was not there. God. And he remembered the way the man gave counsel. That was the only prayer that David prayed in the whole thing. He said, oh God, turn the counsel of Ahithophel to vanity, to foolishness. When they were in the security meeting, Ahithophel was there. I think, is it Usha or something, the friend of David, who was there. Which David, he wanted to follow David. David said, stay back. If you stay back, God will use you to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. When Ahithophel gave counsel of how to move, if they have moved like that, they will have killed David. That will have been his death, they will have killed him. Then this man said, the counsel that Ahithophel gave at this time, he said, it's not good. He said, you know that David is a woodsman. He knows how to do like this, do like this. He said, let's do like this, let's do like this. So he gave opposite. And the people seem to accept that one and reject this one of Ahithophel. Ahithophel hearing this one, I think he went to bed and committed suicide. This gift has never failed before. Since I've been, the gift has never failed. What was this failure? He couldn't bear it. He couldn't hold it. He didn't see himself as being defeated. He wouldn't have been defeated if not because of where he pitched his tent. He went to go and preach his tent against God's anointed. That's why the gift failed. That end is over. They do their bro, look for David, they don't see him. Why? One thing, we can learn so many things in the life of David. For David, he was not really after to maybe to do this way against this one or do this one. It has to be as the Lord will guide him. He didn't just fight with anybody for fighting's sake. No. And at the end, God proved to him, and God showed, of course, after God has proven that this man is worthy, is a man after my own heart, he tested him in past. One day, of course, you know the outcome of the battle even Saul, when Saul died, the way Saul died, himself falling on his sword, somebody came, I think an Egyptian or so, he came, or Amalekite or so, he came to David, he thought that he would get a favor, bearing tidings. Then he came, he said, that how did the battle go? when I saw your enemy, so when I saw him, I saw him with the sword I was in. I know that this man will die, so I could go kill him. I just kill him because after all, your enemy. David said, you kill him and you are an Amalekite. So you know and fear that that was God's anointed. This is a man that has pursued the life of David for months, for months, for months. So you know fear. Fear didn't grip you. You use your hand, raise sword, and kill Saul. And you still have the boldness to come and be telling me. Now your man kill you. Oh yeah, follow him. That's how they kill him. That is somebody that came to report that he killed his enemy. The person died for it. David is a man after God's own heart. When Absalom died, it was God that hanged Absalom himself. It was God that did the justice himself. If nobody touched him at all, that is where he will die. Even though Joab wanted to make the thing fast, that's why they threw something. Otherwise, he doesn't need, nobody need to put any something. God has hanged him, his long hair. Hey, they do like woman. Like some men we do today. Leave their hair as if they should plait it. They want to plait it. The Bible speaks contrary to that. If you have lived in the area where the people have those kind of slick hair, your own too will have fallen at the back. If you have been like that, you will have died in the war. When Absalom was riding on that, on his mule, that long hair that you used to, you know, God just roll it to the branch of a tree while the mule went ahead. Then it was hanged, dangling there between earth and heaven. How long will it stay? With few hours and we die. But finally, and when the news came to, of course you have known that this will not make David happy. So he told I think Hushai the elderly, say, you go and carry tithe. Then there is this young man, Ahimelech or so. He said, let me be a tithe. He said, which tithe are you behind? You don't have news to carry. You wait. What is on ground now? It's not something you can do. You need maturity. So you wait. After David, Joab absent the person that was going, being an elderly man who could not run. This young man pressed on Joab, let me also run. When he did not allow him to rest, okay, run. He outran the real messenger. And he got there. He didn't know what to say. He was pacing up at that. How did the battle we say, well, the battle has gone, this and that. What finally happened? I said, I just see people. This is not the time of uncertainty. What we are looking for here is direct message. How did the battle go? What about Absalom? Is he alive? He doesn't have an answer. When the real messenger came with the anointing and the inspiration, he got there. He bowed down. David said, how did the battle go? He said, well, the battle has gone. It's fine. Say, what about Absalom? The man said, let the enemies of my Lord and those that raise up against him be as that young man is. He didn't say more than that. David got the message. Then he broke down and wept. Oh, Absalom. Absalom, my son. Say, who to God had died because of you? He preferred to have died instead of Absalom dying. A man that drove him out of the kingdom. David was a special character. Now this David, One time in his life that he made one silly mistake was when kings go to war, he stayed back. It was a great mistake, which he greatly regretted. He repented and repented because it led to several evils. First of all, he didn't go to war when kings go to war. The scripture said that he come to the time that when kings go to war, that is the first thing. He didn't go to war. When people go to church, he didn't go to church. When people go to hear God's word, he did not hear. Sometimes when people even say, I will listen to, did you listen? Did you really listen? Did you really listen? Let your conscience be your judge. If you come here, you can come here and not even hear one word of what we are saying. I told you the same thing. Because nobody can force, there is that added that we can force an horse to the river. You cannot force the horse to drink. He can put his mouth inside water like this one, he won't be able to drink anything because the thing to draw water is from inside. You know, everything that you see, most of this technology is made after human being. When they make pump, they make it from human being. Whether pump for car, pump for water, pump for software, because they make it like that. When you put your, there is something that draws. It's in the horse. So as we are seated like this one, there are people that may not draw nothing. You have to decide which one you want to do. David didn't go when he ought to go. And they say, the devil finds jobs for an idle hand. When you are idle, you yourself think of the past. The time you are supposed to be in God's presence, think of the things that you normally do. Look at those things. Are they the things that you can present before God? And God will say, you have done well. Satan is the one that will be around you, giving you what to do, occupying you with this and that. The only acceptable reason where you may not be in church, where you may not, is when you are sick. And if you are completely handicapped, maybe financially you cannot move. But even if that is the case, you will make sure that you will listen to, like this morning, then Brother Stephen and Brother Uche, they were beside each other. Brother Uche, when he sent me a message after the Sunday school, he said, we are just listening to the Sunday school. They are traveling. And they still listen to the preaching here. They may even gain than somebody sitting down here that is sleeping, that is absent-minded, that is going out and in like the wife of Lot. It is a determination. It is a decision. Nobody will stumble into the first square city. Lila, there is nothing that you stumble inside the place. You can't get crash. It is something that you have to systematically on daily basis prepare towards. And of course, there is a power pushing you towards that place. And that is the power of predestination. Amen. When David did not go to walk when he ought to go, of course, what else to do? He begin to walk where he ought not to walk. Be moving on top of the house, looking everywhere, right and left. Yeah, not in I just begin to see something. Then Satan show him, you know, see this one? Yellow woman, beautiful from head to toe. Grown up as the way she was, naked where she was. The prophet said that she forgot to put the shade where she was taking her bath. And this is a king that has 500. No doubt there have been some of them that have been as pretty as this one, if not more. But according to Solomon, he says stolen water is sweet. That's the scripture. No matter how beautiful your wife is, when you see somebody else with a lusting spirit, your body will desire that one. You that thing will crave that there's still something special in this one. It's a spirit. So with all the one that he has, this is stolen water. Then, of course, as the king, he has the power, he has the resources, he has everything that he takes, and then the body, the visitor came. The Bible, I mean, in the proverb of Nathan, he called him visitor. And the prophet said the visitor was his passion. Because he looked when he ought not to look. If it was today, if a man is filled with the Holy Ghost, if he accidentally sees that one, he will turn his head. Not only turn his head, the Holy Ghost will regulate his body. Because that picture you saw once, Satan can anoint you that will stay with you like that for several years. It will never leave you. Then David may inquire. Say, I saw something today. Say, Uriah, what is it? As a woman. Maybe another maybe will call another person to go and see too. Okay, King, this is this is Bathsheba, one of your officers' wife. The husband is in the battle now. At least somebody will be encouraging her before the husband comes back. They go bring the woman. Only one effort. The Lord have mercy upon it. Couple weeks, same message to David. Said the thing don't stay. Say, wait, it stay. The other time now, it has stayed. This thing must not come out to. Then he think this way. Okay. I know what to do. Same message to Joab. Send Uriah to bring the report of the something. Why Uriah? Is he the one that normally carry the report? But something is. Say, Uriah came back home, brought the tidings. The king said, how the battle? Say, fine. Uriah! I trust you are a good officer. That's fine. Okay, I just give you 2 days leave, then you will now go back. So, say, go and greet your family, carry meat. No? You are talking of posterity, no, be from the palace. Better meat. Bowl full. They carry follow him. Make him and the wife eat. Enjoy themselves. At the end of the eating, something else will happen. Then we cover this other one. Uriah without the Holy Ghost. And when God wants to expose something, there is no how you can use Jimmy God. Jimmy cannot cover God. When God did determine, the only thing you can do is to wash your hand from evil. That is the only thing. Wash your hand clean from evil. And lay before God unto assure that God has cleansed you and forgiven you. Otherwise, the day the thing will blow, it will be a national disgrace. It will be catastrophic. Uriah no go. They came to tell the king that Uriah didn't go. They call him. Are you? I'm the king. I'm the one that asked you to go to. Is it you? I put him there. Anybody, nobody can complain. I'm the one that asked you to go. Go now and relax yourself. He said, Your Royal Highness, my Lord Joab, the captain. You know how soldiers used to respect their seniors. And then the ark of the covenant of God is in the front of the battle. Then I will go and be sleeping with my wife. I won't have the strength. I won't have the inspiration. My mind is at the battle. This one, when you call me to come and give you a report, I'll give you the report. The next thing is to go back. David, try every give me the thing, not just walk. So, okay. It remains that one can do. Your Bible says, oh, cool. That man says. Then he carried a letter, wrote to Joab. When Uriah comes, Joab wouldn't know what has happened at all. Maybe Uriah in delivering message has offended the king. He does not know. He never know the extent the king has gone. So warrant this type of letter. He wrote the thing, seal it, give it to the person himself. That is when you give letter to a faithful person. I've seen it before that they use letter, write letter, put money inside, give to a brother one time to carry from Abuja, come to this west. He opened the letter and spent the money. If it's a person like that that Uriah was and he has seen his something, he will have tear the letter, he will never go back to that battle. We find his level. These are characters of people who are in the scriptures. Even though it is his death warrant, but he is so faithful that he does not open what he was not asked to open. He carried it faithfully and delivered it exactly. And when the person that have it open it, you must have looked at Uriah, that this is the end of his own life. But as soldiers, they don't reveal anything. So, okay, just rearrange the battle. So, you know what? You stay here. Uriah, man this place. Okay, you, come and do this. Then they leave Uriah here. Within a few times, they hit him. He fell down. Then another messenger went home. This one was not the king sending message now. It was Joab himself. He wants to report the letter. Go and say like this one to the king. If you see his face, he's turning. Mention Uriah. That Uriah also is dead. You will know why some people have to die. Some people also have to die with Uriah. At the end of the day, when the king said, go and tell Joab. One man devour as the other. This and that. Make yourself strong. Make the battle strong. This and that. They continued the battle. God was like this, looking. Looking at man and his diversity. Looking at man and his plans. Sometimes when you dare your house, they plant things. You just say, God, no, they look. God, they look. Oh, God is looking. Sometimes God can be very patient. His patience can last for years. But when he will strike, because the only thing that can make him to pipe down is genuine repentance. With all sobriety. And when somebody genuinely repents, God knows. When you repent to please the pastor, God knows. The pastor will be pleased, God will not be pleased. A prophet was there in the land, Nathan by name. He came in one morning after he had seen the vision of the Lord. And came to me, David said, Your Highness, prophet, God bless you, shalom, sir, shalom. He said, there is something I want to bring to your information. Say, what is this? Prophet, say on. Say, there is one man. He has about 500 sheep. And there is also another man. A poor man that has only one sheep. Say this only one sheep, he carries it to his bosom and nurses it like child, like wife, that's the way he cherishes it and everything. But that's the only one he has. Say, do you know what? This rich man with 500 sheep has a visitor. That was that passion. Instead of taking one out of this 500 to entertain the visitor, he said he went to go and take the only one of this woman and he kill it and make it for. Before he finished, David said, what? In this kingdom, as king, I pronounce my judgment. Before we call the council, before the court is set, before we hear the case, since we are saying it now, I give my judgment. That person will die. When he dies, finished, he will return fourfold. How can a dead man still be the story for? I am you, me, no? Judgment. If you want to die, let it die. If it's to resolve for, let it resolve for. But you combine the whole thing together, not knowing where the thing is going. Nathan looked at him with a long look. He said, King, you will not die, but you are the one. That was when David knew that all that he has covered. The story became different. Supposing anointing come this morning, and somebody rise up and say, thus saith the Lord. I begin to mention individual one by one. Before you finish one row, half of the church will be empty. When you begin to hear, you do this one, and that one, you do that one, and you see that it's correct, it's on the floor, weak, tired, weeping, rolling from here to here. He jump on the next one, he narrate the OT. You do like this, you do like this, you do like this, and you know it's correct. Before he reaches, he jumps to the next row, you will see that people will begin like toilet, like what? Before. Majority, on my bias, I want to run, to be honest with you. Now that there is nobody prophesying, does he change God's record? It doesn't change God's record. The record is there. The record is perfect. God is still just patient. But remember, one day will be one day. The only thing the prophet said that stops God's wrath is not just repentance. He said quick repentance. Not just repentance. He said quick repentance. Because according to his program, he may be having the next service in mind for the OT to bust. Repentance. And one thing is that Jehovah God, genuine repentance, humility, he used to put handcuffs in his hand. Even the wickedest king in the Bible, Ahab by name, when judgment was pronounced upon him, the one that the prophet said that he ceased not to do evil, he showed himself to do every evil possible. The day the judgment was pronounced on him like this one, and he teared this and walked softly before God, God asked to call his prophet. He said, look at Ahab. See how he walked softly before me. He said, this judgment that I pronounced, it will not come to pass on his day. I will roll it over to the days of his son. May God be merciful unto us. Knowing for sure that there is no sinner that will find peace before God. There is no sinner that will find favor before God. It is in this very sermon that the prophet made reference to that verse in Proverbs chapter 19. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. For he that will repent and forsake it, they will obtain what? Mercy. John 8:13. Because these are the two types of people on earth. Those who cover their sin, and those who confess and forsake. They are the two types of people. David belonged to this group. That when he had God's judgment, he broke down. He wept. And he wrote it. That was why he wrote, I think, Psalm 51. He said, my sin is ever before me. He broke down as a king. And when even the child that pregnancy, when it was born, and the child took sick, and he was fasting and praying for the child, fasted. But despite his fasting, despite his prayers, despite everything, the child was taken. But when they told him that the child is taken, then he went to bath and to ask for food. Then the people didn't understand. He said, when the child was sick, you refused to eat. Now the child is dead. You are asking for food. Say, God has taken his decision. Say, he can't come back to me. I will be the one to go to him. When God takes those decisions, we have to surrender. It has never been pleasurable to any mortal. The Bible itself called death the last enemy that shall be destroyed. David was a man after God's own heart. If you study the life of David, you will know that true. He was a man after God's own heart. He is a believer. Then, something else about David. While he was left in the wilderness to be rearing the sheep, God was training him. Just as he trained Moses, God was also training David. And for everything that God has in store for you to do in life, there is a time of training for it. Though we don't use to realize it, but there is time of training. And training is not easy. Training is hard. When you are going through your training, you must humble yourself. You must follow God's direction. You must not be sad. You must cheer up. You must know that God knows about it. And you must follow him as he's doing the training. But no training is easy at all. Training has correction, it has lashes, it has a lot of things, but you have been trained for something you may not even know yet. What's a training? God was training David. The revelation that God gave to him about the sheep that he was rearing was that, can them sheep, these sheep, all of them, you must deliver them to your father every time. They must be complete. So he has a revelation and he has a faith. And he was rearing the sheep. Then one day, a bear come in. He didn't have a gun. He didn't have a spear. He didn't even mention cutlass. How will he attack a bear? He only had a slingshot, which Yoruba called kanakana. What will this slingshot kanakana do to a bear? Let me advise you. You have kanakana in your hand. You see an animal that pass you, run for your life. Let me repeat. Even if you carry gun in your hand, you look at the gun and see what it can kill. You see what it cannot kill, hide yourself. Several hunters have died with gun in their hand. Bush pig. Sometimes they move in comfort. You see the first one with locals until you say gua. Before Jack Robinson. When the others come out and round you up, they will eat only bone. Except if somebody can identify your clothes before they can know who died there. They will eat everything about you. Only remaining the bones. Bush pigs. Sometimes some hunter will climb tree. If it's not a big tree, they will fall the tree. One might dig around and bring the tree down. But David didn't have gun. He didn't have spear. He didn't have cutlass. He didn't have bow and arrow. We really have a slingshot.
But he has a revelation that this sheep, I won't lose any of them. He had a revelation and he has a slingshot. So with the slingshot in his hand, when the bear grabbed the thing and was taking it away, he said, for where? With the revelation that none of this will be lost, he took a slingshot, put a stone, and put it. The strength of stone naturally cannot kill a bear. Let's be honest with ourselves. But when God is inside of it, when God is inside of it, maybe he directed it to the eyeball and punctured the eyeball to inside the brain. God does what is pleasing to him. Because he walks in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He knocked it, as he knocked it like that one, then the bear was like a bit unconscious. While he was doing like that one and roll and wanted to charge on David, David went confidently and grabbed him by the bear and took his knife, char, and killed it without hurting David. Stage one of the training. God must have done his head like this. A man after my own heart. Faith that will not take no for an answer. He do his head like this. Not that somebody headache is worrying him. He done the right, say, God, I know I will die today. This and that. And the rest of it. What do you do with all the promises? Or the doctor said like this one, you begin to call all your friends. They say, I will die. This and that. Has God said it yet? God took his head, not his head. Say, okay, I'll give you the second one, advanced test. You still need to pass an advanced test. Because where God was training him for, he's going to deal with greater things. Then one day, lion came. Grab one. And you know, lion, the prophet said that if it's a wilderness one, that he will kill, before you say Jack Robinson, he has already killed 12 men. The screaming and the vibration of it. Abraham said that he used to make rocks to fall off from mountains. It will make the running of blood to stop in people's body. Before it gets to you, you are already dead. This same lion from the wilderness came. Maybe roar and grab one sheep. Yeah, this is this afternoon's food. David, look. Where? Which afternoon food? Where are you going to? Something that God assured me that none of them will go. He took the same slingshot. Roll it. Bam. How God carried the stone to go and kill a lion? It is in God's hand. When we get to the other side, just make sure you don't miss it all. Then we'll be able to hear all the testimony. The things that is not clear now will be clear at that time. When the lion also was at the knocking of catapult, he took the knife, kill it. So when he passed the advanced one, God now say, okay, so you can now go to higher institution. Then one day, the father called him. Say, David, you go and check your brothers at the war and give them food to eat. And by the time David arrived there, saw where the people come, then it was the time that a man that had been threatening them for the past 40 days, he happened to scream at that time. The Bible describes his height, his fingers, is the beam of his hand, several feet, about 9 feet or so, and physically looking at a man like that, said, everybody will advise themselves. Saul, that was head and shoulder above the people,
inside their backyard. You probably say it was vaccinated. Why are you people looking at me? If any of you can kill me, let it go. We don't want to share blood here. Give me one person. If you kill me, our people will serve you. If I kill it, you will serve us. Whenever you charge my blood, well, I call your king to come here. Come face me. When David came there, then he heard that. Then he asked, what is that? Don't talk loud, don't talk loud. See, but what really, what is he saying? Say, no, be today. We have been here 40 days. That's the way the man has been coming to talk. Nobody can hear him. Say, what about the kids in the backyard? Ah. Then David said, I'll go and fight him. Ah! Eliab said, you don't come with this, your pride. I mean, short of a man, leave here quickly. Go back. The chief said, who is taking care of him? Go and say, you are not a qualified soldier. What are you doing here? But he brought food for you people. You chop the food. He's talking about something now you are saying. He said, no, I will fight him. Eliab talked. He couldn't quiet him. Other brothers talk, they could not quiet him. He was saying that he will fight him. Tell me to Saul, let me tell him that I will go and fight him. Let nobody be afraid. They took him to Saul. Then when they got to Saul, he said, Saul, this boy, I've been making noise since. So we don't know what he has in mind. We don't know why he's here. But this is what he has been saying. Saul, look at him. General Saul. Say, my boy. Ah, God bless you. He said, whose kid is this stripling? That's the word he used. Stripling. He said, Jesse's boy. Oh. He said, you know what? Let me give you the history of that man. Recently, one of the Nigerian fighters died in Ghana. When he went to fight somebody else, he died. He couldn't complete the fight. When two people want to fight, they are going to reel out the profile of this one and reel out the profile of this one. When he started the fighting and several things he has won and the rest of it, this one too, they will reel it out. And they are coming together now. Then they will give them the stage. Then they will start. He said, do you used to watch the fighting? I don't watch. But this one is news. So, Saul read out the profile of Goliath to David. But when he got to David, there was nothing he could. He said, you don't know anything about battle. Now zero day or something. So the conclusion of Saul was that with all this one you have had, my advice would be to go back to your father. Saul said, I will fight the man. I mean, David said, I will fight the man. Say, this one is not up to the things I've dealt with. Say, when I was riding my father's sheep in the wilderness, one day a bear came that grabbed one of it. Say, with this little shot, I knock him down. Then Saul adjusted his chair. Am I hearing something? You keep here with this slingshot. After that one, a lion came, grabbed one of the sheep, and with this same slingshot, and knocked him down. When he rose up, he said, I took my and I slew him. Saul looked at him and said, never get any of his qualifications. So, if that be the case, well, go and try your luck. God be with you. But before you go, Let me wear you with this ecclesiastical robe of unbelief. Then he carried his war vest, begin to wear it on David. The prophet said, while they were wearing it, the man was going down. He was getting bow-legged because it was an armor of unbelief, armor of doubt. If the thing is good, if it can, if it's enough for God, why don't you say, wear it and go meet the man? When the thing was, when he saw that it was going down, his case was getting worse, he said, remove this thing first, remove it first. I didn't have this thing when I fought with this bear and life I'm telling you about. This testimony, there was nothing there. With it. I'm telling you, it's only with this little shot. Say, this is how I'm going. Say, talk. God be with you. Then he left, and as he was going, the Bible says he picked 5 stones, which the prophet said he stood for faith. And he also stood for Jesus. Faith in Jesus. And then he picked it. Only one out of it was what he used. While he was going and he was approaching to David, I mean to Goliath. Goliath thought that maybe they sent a message to go and tell him something. But while he was coming closer, he said that, you are coming to defy the armies of the living God. He said, today, I will give your head to the best of the ear. Then David looked. Goliath looked, say, am I a dog? Of course he is. Why are they bringing this one? If I want to fight, I fight with a man. I don't fight with children. You are looking at him as a child. When he's anointed of God. God, as great as he is, he used to make himself manifest in simplicity. That is how he used to confirm the wisdom of the wise. The weakness of God is stronger than men. And the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Then Goliath looked, he said, I won't waste time fighting with you. See this, my spear. That's what I will just use to pick you up and hang you so that the best of the year will just feed on your flesh. That's all. When he's fighting, I want man to come. I'm not looking for children to fight. Okay, now. As he opened the front leg of the helmet now, where the eyes, maybe to look at David very clearly, which the place was needed to be opened, because the Lord had need of it. Then David, in the name of Jesus, 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 then he released it. When he released it, then the Holy Spirit picked it. And he entered, whether the eyeball or forehead, he entered inside. And then when he entered inside, they just see the man jacking. Maybe the people will think that the battle wants to start. Jack left and right, and maybe thinking he will balance himself before you know what's happening. A boo, then dust. All with that, Philistine still thought that he still the courage of how the thing will, in fact, the battle today will be serious. They didn't know what was happening inside the dust. But David knew that the man is gone. David went there. He doesn't have a sword. He pulled out the sword of the man, used it to cut his head, and carry the head and carry the sword. When the dust go down, enough for the Philistines to see, the head of their captain the sword. Only God knows how many of them will die in the press as they are running. Because this one, if Goliath can be killed by this small one, then, when the other people come, they believe that voila, everybody took to them their heads. That was David, a man after God's own heart, a fearless man, a believer. He believed God's word. He believed God's promises. Being that he was living in the wilderness, he was not fully with unbelief. Sometimes, civilization, where civilization have not reached, they are more holy than people that are living in the civilized areas. Civilization go with sin. It go with unbelief. It go with rotten lives. He was a believer. He said God was the one that taught his hand to walk. God was his trainer. While others have different trainers that train them, Jehovah God himself. That was why when David and Saul were still fighting battle side by side, even women knew that when Saul fights, he's able to kill thousands. But David, he will kill 10,000 until he became a son. That was one of the things that caused trouble for David. He said, Saul has killed his thousands. David has killed his 10,000. Jealousy rose up, not knowing that the gift and the callings of God are without repentance. And God gave it to everybody according to their ability. Ah, this man sabi how to play keyboard very well. Me, I know sabi how to click and work. This is, it doesn't mean nothing. Everybody has their different calling. Jesus Christ also explained it when he talked about 10 talents that were distributed among 3 people. He gave one 5. He gave one 2. He gave one 1. When this one traded with 5, he gained 5 more. When this one traded with 2, he gained 2 more. When this one go and bury his own, if he had traded, he would have also gained 1 more. 100%. 100% yield. It's also applicable to business, depending on the way you shall be business. And when Lomi might get one money, while some others will work with their capital and get more, others will eat their own. Say, because the capital is small. That is also how talents in church is, in the household of faith. Any talent that God gave to you, he know where he put talent. If you bury your own, a day is coming, we ask you. This thing I gave to you, what did you do with it? Say, well, if you know you are going to give me talent, forgive me like preacher to be able to preach this and that. That's what I will prefer, to go be a pastor. And go and tell God now to make you pastor. Everything that God has in his program, he has finished it before the world began. Who is going to use for what? There are people that are using even instruments that are even more popular than ministers, that are specially gifted. Until people will call them, there are people that are gifted as singers. Some people, if they sing like this one, healings take place. When David was alive, the Abraham said, he had the gift of divine healing, but it was through instruments. So it doesn't mean anywhere that somebody is placed, if the person can yield himself to it and work with it, things can happen. Healings can take place during worship service. Only about 2 or 3 people say that's right. It is the condition of your heart. That's what Abraham said, when you come to church 30 minutes before the worship service, come to the altar and pray. When you go back to your seat, you stay there, and then either you continue to pray or you are meditating on the scripture or something like that one, in preparation for the service. When that service starts from the worship service, healing can take place in your body. You can receive the Holy Ghost. You can be delivered. Because each of these sons, they are sermons on their own. Because they were composed by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But because it is the anointing, the way you take it, that's why you don't get nothing out of it. If you sing with the revelation, you will get the benefit out of it. May the Lord be our help. That man said the gift God gave me was small. We went to go and bury it. By the time that the reckoning was caught, Oya, come and give account. The one that was giving five brought the five. See, this is five I was giving you, and I gained five more. Oh, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter to the joy of your Lord. The one with two, say, I gained two more. Well done, faithful and true servant. Enter to the joy of your Lord. The one of one, say, well, I know that as for you, an all-star man, where you don't sow, that's why you want to reap. It's true, you gave me one the other day. Let me see. See, I bury it somewhere. I'll give you somebody for you. You come to me to give me one. Let me see where I put it. If I can still find it. Where to go and do something and then. Say, this is your something. Take that. You won't give me something. Give me something better. Not just give me any outfit. The man said, oh yeah, collect it. Give it to the one now that I traded with five and is now having ten. The people say, oh, he has ten already. Say yes. The one that have, we have more. The one that doesn't have, even the small he have, will be collected. The reason it is like that is because you didn't trade with it. You didn't do anything with it. You are lazy. You are slothful. You are indifferent. You are full of unbelief. That is why you say, the Bible said that every gift of God is given to profit with that. Is that scripture? If your own is prayer, why is it that Andrew's own was recorded? There was a prayer word. It is on that you will be rewarded. There is no gospel. He didn't write any letter that was recorded in the scripture. There was no sermon that was recorded on his name. Nothing, nothing. If you see everywhere, anywhere, nothing. Apart from just that. So individuals ask something. I'm talking of believers. Individual believer ask something. The prophet said that there is no idle member in the body of Christ. Everyone is represented, like Brother Paul said. He said that every part supplies that which to make increase in God. Now I'm referring to Ephesians chapter 12. I mean 4 verse 12. Yes. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Every part. You cut out this small finger now, I become incomplete. I become handicapped. If you think that this finger is useless, you wait until the day you will need it. That's when you remember that it's only four finger that this one is. You see this, our ear? If this one come out, my head will be going this way. As soon as you see this thing, God put it there to balance the head. God is a designer. The only way they say, if you remove the two, then the head will see like that. Because people know you are handicapped, because you are not complete. But if one is reduced, find out that the person's head will be going one side, because it's not balanced. God that put it there, it's not this one we used to hear, it's inside. If this one is out, you can see here. But God know why he put this one. That's why when Peter removed this one from the servant of the high priest, Jesus picked it and put it there. May the Lord be our help. David, a man after God's own heart, is one of the believers. The time is almost gone. We only talk about David. And we still have quite a number of special believers that we just have to talk about. I won't follow this order because the time is fast spent. Let me just pick one small one and then we'll close. Because we should close maximum 10 minutes, so this time now we should close. The Lord bless you. May his coming glad in our hearts. You love David? David is not an angel. He has, but his attitude to the mistake he made, he still retained him as a man after God's own heart. His attitude to the sin he committed, he made him to still retain as a man after God's own heart. Now, the prophet mentioned here this woman at the well. As we try to close, let me look at paragraph 114 of this sermon. Okay. Okay, let me read that 113 and 114. So Nathanael was a believer, and when he seen the word made flesh, that he was vindicated that he was a believer, he said, "Thou art Rabbi, thou art the Christ, thou art the King of Israel." He believed it. When the woman at the well saw it, she believed it. She is a believer. Now these two characters, what did they see? Is it that they just saw a Galilean or a Nazareth? Is that what they saw? It's more than that. What they saw was a sign that was promised. The word of God that was promised for their day. And naturally, this woman at the well is not in the normal route of Jesus Christ. Jesus had to make a diversion to go to that place. The Bible said that he needed to pass Sychar. This Sychar, where he went, that was in the fact. If they had continued their journey, instead of sending the disciples, they would have gone to eat. But when she got there, she waited. Because she was waiting for somebody. She didn't tell the disciples. He said they should go and buy food. So they went. By the time they came back, they saw him talking to a woman of Ephraim. How do we know she was a woman of Ephraim? The Bible didn't describe how she was dressed. But the time she came to the well is not the time that virgins come. When Jesus was there and the woman came, Jesus said, "Woman, give me water to drink." The woman looked at Jesus Christ up and down. Say, "Who are you that is asking me water to drink? You are not from here now. The way I look at you, you are not from Samaria. You are a Jew now. And Jew and Samaritans, we are boundary. Where we don't cross to each other. So everybody should be, why are you asking me? I'm a Samaritan." Jesus said, "If you knew who was he that was talking to you, you would have rather asked me for a drink. And I would have given you water that will be springing. You will not thirst. You will not come here to draw again. But the water I will give you will be springing inside of you as a well of water to everlasting life." The woman said, "So you have water, you are still asking me for water. You are thirsty, you don't have something to draw. Me that I have something to draw instead of you to plead. You are still boasting that you have water. Where is the water now? This thing I have in my hand, I'm not giving you to draw. And you don't have. Which water are you talking about?" The conversation continued until Jesus said, "Go and call your husband and come here." Now, don't talk about the Jewo Bunisi. One dash away. Now that you are talking about where you are going, who know what you really want? The prophet said that she thought that Jesus was the next man. So, as it matter now, we want to photo how. Jesus wants to find out whether she already has somebody with her. So that if there is nobody, he will be able to slot himself inside. I don't have any husband. Either the area you are. You will have gone this way since now.
Why are you parabolating? Will I come straight?
Then Jesus looked at her again.
He said, what you have said, one way is correct. Because you have had five husbands. And the one you are living with now is not still your own. You are living in adultery. Naturally, the sin that is inside, there is no forgiveness for it. If she died like that, no adulterer will ever enter heaven. Not that she is committing adultery, she is living in adultery. It's only mercy of God and predestination that sought her out. If she has not met Jesus, she will have gone to hell. When the woman had that, if it is today, some people will say, this is an open embarrassment. He's trying to talk about me, the public, in a bad way. But the prophet said that something inside the woman woke up. Like somebody sleeping and you wake up. This somebody we are meeting for the first time, somebody we have never met before, is telling me my life for past many years till today. But from the things we have had, it's only when Messiah comes that these things will be like this. When the Messiah comes, he's the only one that will be telling us things like this. Are you a prophet? I perceive you are a prophet. Because it is only Messiah that will tell us this one. Jesus said, I that am speaking to you, I am he. What?
She ran to the city. Started to give testimonies. Normally, nobody will listen to the testimony of an harlot.
But when an harlot have heard from God, have had an encounter with God, from that day on, there will be a difference. When an armed robber have an encounter with God, from that day on, there will be a difference. When a thief have an encounter with God, from that day on, it will be a difference. The life of a man could be. The day you have an encounter with God, from that day, the record changes. Everything at the past, it is 1 second God used to blot it out. It is repentance that wipes off all old records. She went there to testify. She was no more ashamed. Say, come and see a man who have told me my life that I've had five husbands. And the one I'm with is the sixth one is not my own. And they know what the Lord says. They know what the word of God said. And he was saying it from everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. So the people were saying, somebody told you that one. That nobody told anything about you. That you are meeting for the first time. Where is the man? As he was telling, he was sending them there. Oh yeah. That's where he is. Oh yeah. That's where he is. Oh yeah. That's where he is. When the people got there, he must have had discernment on a number of them. Because the Bible said, when those people believed, not only because of what the woman said, they said that we ourselves, we have seen it. We have had. Now we have seen. We had your testimony. When we got there, we also saw it ourselves. There must have been another line of discernment. There might be line of healing. There have been line of deliverances. This might have taken place again when those people met Jesus Christ. But faith comes by hearing the word of God. Our life in this time, if God has ever worked on you, if God has ever helped you, it's because that you have heard that God is doing something. And you see that it is promised in God's word. And you see somebody who is an example that God has worked upon. And you are able to bring yourself inside also that me too, God can also work upon me. As long as you are in the environment where the word of God in truth is being preached, You are in the environment of deliverance. You are in the environment of salvation. You are in the environment of healing. You are in the environment of forgiveness. You are in the environment of transformation. You are in the environment where something can happen to your life. Coming to an environment where God is moving is one step in the right direction. As you stay and you don't go, but those people who are not, when we come to them, who are not real believers, they don't used to stay. Small time they will get offended. Because when you will hear the truth, there will be rebuke inside. There will be corrections inside. There will be instructions inside. You can be rubbed on the floor. Jesus did it. Yes. You can be rubbed on the floor on this way of life. It can come from anybody. It can come from anywhere. It is inspired by the Almighty God. Abraham says so. So that if you want to go, go. But if there is a representation in you, if there is a seed of God in you, you don't notice those ones much. What you are paying attention to is God's promises, is God's word, is what the focus is, what is ahead, the blessing that is waiting for you. We are speaking on the three kinds of believers. We are still talking about the believers. The believers, they are so rich. They are so rich. One thing that binds all of them together is predestination. They came from the same place. They are going to the same place. Do you know how we come to know ourselves? Now this message, though. Many of you, we may never have seen life if not for this message of the hour. Then have you noticed something that when we met, something just binds us together that is difficult for us to separate? Something just hold us together. It's just difficult for us to not to see each other. We want to see each other. We want to talk together. We want to eat together. We want to do everything together. There is something that is unseen that is binding us. It came from the call from heaven that Jehovah dropped down for his own people. I want to believe that every one of you is a man. I want to believe that every one of you is a man. I trust the mercy of God that I'm also a man. And Jehovah God, as long as we stay on this line, you will have mistakes, sure. You may fall some time and some assault. Nevertheless, if you don't faint when you are rebuked of him, because once in a while you will be rebuked. Sometimes it can come an open rebuke, it's part of the word. It can come a sharp rebuke, it's part of the word. But Paul said, they that do this one rebuke them sharply. It's part of the word. It will be all the time, but it can come once in a while. When the thing comes and face you, God has to help you to continue. If there is no election in you, that is the day you have come here last. It's very good now to shout amen and shout. But if the thing comes to you, we are talking about sharp rebuke. Oh, mercy. Nowadays, we don't have it much. In them years, I tell you, in them years, God, heavy bombardment. You have to sit well. I tell you. I remember one particular one. Somebody was here interpreting. The preacher was preaching. And of course, you know that many times the preacher faces the interpreter. And the next item was the interpreter himself. Heavy bombardment. I was looking at it, that God be merciful to this man. Because the thing was a reflection of what happened in the video. The brother came to give a testimony and slot in like a similar confession inside the song. Car, on Sunday, the thing, have merciful God. I say, may God help this man today. But it's still true. It is only election that old people are there. We are part of you, these young generations. May God be merciful unto you. The reason why you look at small, small rebuke at something big now, you are not around when the main thing was here. May the Lord be merciful unto us. Three kinds of believers.
this way is not the way of roses. It's not the way of party on the back. It's not this one that I preach now is not a whole sermon. It's just a sermon of encouragement of like everybody happy and things like that. And we get to some areas with this same sermon. It may not be the same way, but God has to help everybody. Election will hold his own people. May the Lord be our help. May you love the Lord. Let us stand up for Jesus, soldier of the cross. What is that hymn? So, stand up for Jesus. I think it's 764. So, soldiers of the cross. All right. Stand up for Jesus, okay? If there is anything inside of you at all to stand, this is the time to stand. Tomorrow is not your own. You may not have another chance. So if there is a seed of God
a representation of God inside of you at all, stand now. This is the time to stand. Because you won't have the chance tomorrow. You have the opportunity tomorrow. Procrastinating spirit. Tomorrow I will. Tomorrow I will. One day you meet yourself in the lake of fire. Far be that happen to any of us. Let us bow our heads. Commit yourself unto God and ask Him to help you. And ask Him to give you grace. Many have started this journey that fell by the wayside. And they have been forgotten. Nobody reminded them. When Orpa fell off from the way, and name was never mentioned from that day on, so will it be anyone. When Lot's wife stopped by the way, turned to look back, Jesus pointed back to her, remember Lot's wife. If you have on you a spirit like that of Lot's wife, the things you are hearing in church, you have your doubts about it. You are double-minded about it. You are not convinced. You are thinking that their own is too hard. That was the way the Lot's wife was. She thought it was too hard. But those are the things that will have helped her. Even the husband, the prophet said, he left the sickness of the message that Abraham's sermon was too hard. That's why he left. All that he labored for several years, everything perished. Himself finally had to leave with his own daughters to have children. Very horrible thing. Very terrible memorial. Far be that from anyone. We get to some point in this sermon, Brother Abraham sends some hard warning to everybody. Three kinds of believers. The real believers, they are foreknown of God, predestinated of God. They are not parted at the back. They don't need anybody to part them. They are God's elect. They are not looking for flowery beds of peace. Christianity, the prophet said, is rugged life every day living for Jesus. When it is convenient, when it is not convenient, when things are easy, when things are hard, every time. Brother Paul said, I've learned in all things. I'm instructed in all things to be content. Whether I get to eat, to suffer hunger, or to eat to the full. Whichever way, it blesses God anyhow. This road is not a road of complaining. This one, that one, that one. Complain, wicked faith, murmuring, wicked faith, it drives it away. The prophet said that God's own sheep, they are driven up in, not down here. Three kinds of believers. As we describe these characters, try to check. Which of them do you fit in? Are you resembling? You find that you are not resembling these ones we are describing. Tell God, please, you called me, you brought me, and I'm here. I believe that I am yours. Work upon me. Perfect your grace in my life. Are you seeking for the Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost is not in heaven. Holy Ghost is here on earth. Is here in this tabernacle, because there are some of God's children here that have a portion of it that makes His presence to be real here. So it's not so far away from you. The day you make up your mind, say, God, anything word that come out of your mouth, whether it's convenient, whether it's not convenient, whether it is painful, whether I like it, whether I don't like it, that is what I want to live for. I don't care which name I'm called. I don't care any embarrassment. I don't care any insult. I want to stay with this world every day of my life. Let your spirit drop upon my soul as a confirmation. It is doing that day.
beside us at the altar, if there be somebody in the audience that have a need, a desire, I would like to be remembered in prayer. Will you just keep all your hand to God? I say, God, remember me. So I invite the pastor to please pray for everyone that the Lord will.
Our blessed Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for another opportunity to sit at your feet and to hear your word be ministered unto us the way you brought it through your star messenger to this age. There have been so many that claims to be messengers to this age, but there is none that will compare his ministry, the vindication, the manifestation of your presence. Lord, he the minister of William and Abraham. They do have it. By that, O God, you are proving unto us that this is the man that you have sent. And your prophet said, there can never be vindications, signs and wonders and supernatural manifestations like that without a message following it. We thank you because the message following it is what has called us. And that is what we are feeding upon. We remember when you said, whosoever will be ashamed of you before men, say that day will be ashamed of such a one before your Father and the holy angels. We have had your word that has been ministered unto us. We have had characters, Lord Jesus. These are not ashamed. They have left their seats and they have come right to the altar to present themselves unto you, that there are needs in their lives. If it was a time your prophet was here, oh Master, you could just go as it pleases you to measure to them one by one what their desires are, what their needs are. We have seen it done several times, and you change it not. You are the same yesterday and today and forever. By that we are convinced and we know that you know what our needs are. You know what our requests are. You know what our desires are. You know what we are looking unto you for. We are praying and asking, O God, Master, don't pass any of us by. Meet us at the point of our needs. If it is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, may you fill us, O God. If it is refilling, may you refill us, O God. If it is the healing, may you perform it, O Father. Your prophet told us that for healing you have already done it. He said, all that it takes is faith to claim what has already been purchased. Thank you, Father. Apart from these ones on the altar, there are those in the congregation that lifted up their hands. Lord Jesus, whatsoever those needs are, Master, may you meet us at the point of our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ. Your prophet had taught us about these three kinds of believers. He said, the one that we should really deal with is the believers. We don't want to be identified with may believer. We don't want to be identified with unbeliever. We want to be identified with the believer. May that be our portion, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Grant it, Heavenly Father. As you have taught us your word, and whatsoever thing we desire, when we ask the prayer, we should believe we have received such, and then we shall have it. Whatsoever those needs might be, that brought them to the altar, and made them to defy the law of gravity, and lifted up their hands unto you, after this prayer, Lord, may they believe that they have received. And may they have it, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Grant it, Heavenly Father. May these saints talk to testimonies for your glory, for your honor. Thank you for your servant that you have used, the virtue that has left him. May you replenish him, Lord. Take all the glory and honor for granting these petitions. In Jesus' most holy name, we have prayed with all faith and thanksgiving. Amen. And amen.
Lord bless you. Dismiss immediately. Something like 915.